prospects rarely ask the real question up front. Sandler-trained salespeople operate on the rule of 3+. That is, you will need to ask 3 or more questions to get the prospect's real intention for asking the question. The first 2 answers given by the prospect are generally intellectual in nature. The 3rd answer is generally an emotional response, which reflects the prospect's true intent. It's very important to determine the prospect's true intention and accompanying emotional state because people buy based on their emotions, not on their intellect. Why don't prospects ask the real questions up front? Well, psychologically speaking, most of us have been programmed since childhood not to reveal our true motives. Here's a simple example, a story about how this programming happens to most of us. Picture little Jimmy. He's 6 years old, it's 5:45, and Jimmy runs into the kitchen where his mother is fixing dinner. "Mommy, can I have a cookie?" asks Jimmy. "Oh, no, sweetie, it'll spoil your appetite. We're going to be eating dinner in just a few minutes," she replies. "Now, turn off the TV and go wash your hands." The next night, again, just before dinner, Jimmy runs into the kitchen and asks, "Mommy, can I have a cookie?" This time, his mother replies a bit more sternly than she did the day before. "What did I tell you yesterday? Now go get ready for dinner." With that, she gives him a swat on the rear and sends him off to wash his hands. The next day, like clockwork, Jimmy shows up in the kitchen just before his mother is ready to serve dinner and asks again, "Mommy, I'm hungry. Can I have a cookie?" This time, wondering if Jimmy will ever learn, his mother responds angrily, "Jimmy, don't you ever listen to what I tell you? You are not going to eat cookies or anything else before dinner. Don't make me tell you that again." A few days pass, and Jimmy, who still gets hungry before his mother's ready to serve dinner, runs into the kitchen and blurts out, "Mommy, when are we eating dinner?" What has happened is that Jimmy learned not to ask the real question, "Can I have a cookie?" Instead, he now asks a smokescreen question. It's not the real question, but it's a safe question. While Jimmy's mother may believe she taught him something about good eating habits, what she actually taught him was not to be open and direct with his questions. Like Jimmy, most of us learned a similar lesson. We first ask safe intellectual questions. We test the waters before revealing our true intent. Now let's jump 30 years ahead in the life of little Jimmy. Now, Jim. It's Wednesday afternoon, and some of his buddies invite him over to play poker on a Friday night. He'd really like to play, but before committing, he wants to check with his wife to make sure she hasn't made any plans. Does Jim go home and announce, "I'm playing poker with the guys Friday night, you got a problem with that?" Not likely. He'd risk upsetting his wife, who may have made plans or wants to do something with him. Nor does he ask the real question, "Dear, are you okay if I play poker with the guys Friday night?" Instead, Jim has learned to ask a safe question, a smokescreen question like, "Dear, have you made any plans for Friday evening?" Or he might ask, "Is there anything special you want to do on Friday evening?" Now understand, he's hoping she'll say no, but if she says yes, he'll know that he has to approach the poker issue some other way. Most of us have been through similar situations, which taught us not to ask the real question up front until we've checked out the territory. Listen as David Sandler uses 2 examples to explain.
Let's suppose you fellas had all just graduated from medical school, and you are now going the next step because you all want to become psychiatrists. And there's another 4 years. Now you know how to cut and scratch and all that stuff. Now you got to go to psychiatric school. It's first day of psychiatric school. The instructor for the first day of those next 4 years, here's what he says to you. And don't write this yet because I'm going to give you one after this. He says, "Gentlemen, I'd like you to write this down. I'm going to teach you the most important lesson in psychiatric school. The problem that the patient brings you is never the problem." And he repeats it. "The problem the patient brings you is never the problem." Here's what he says. If the patient could bring you the problem, he wouldn't be there. So we have a rule. The problem that the prospect gives you is never the problem. And that's what Carol is trying to tell us. He's right. You're going to be so shocked, Rich, that when you tell this guy you can solve his problem, there's going to be another problem. And it's not the real problem. And you'll see when we do the questioning technique soon why we use the reversing technique. The problem that the prospect brings you is never the problem. The problem that we have is that we have all of our people dealing with problems that aren't the problem. They're never working on the right end of the problem. So remember that psychiatrist school problem. When a customer says something to you, make a note of it, but discount it. Go back about three blocks further. There's something else going on here. Carol's probably going to wind up being right. The guy doesn't want us. He's handing us a problem that he knows we can't deal with, and that's a great way to blow us away. And you're going to solve the problem and come back, we'll give you another problem. We got to get this guy committed that if we can solve the problem, that's it. There is no hurdle after that. Problem the prospect brings you is never the problem.
When they tell you that the lot is too small and you take that in and start dealing with that, you're dealing with the wrong stuff because they're not going to tell you up front the truth. You got to go through the rule of three. I'll give you an example. If I went home this evening and I say to my wife, honey, let's go to the movies, she could say no, right? If she says no, I'm wiped out. If she says yes, I win. It's a 50-50 chance. But people aren't set up to take that. The little person inside of me can't handle that kind of rejection. So here's what it sounds like. And in your world, it may be close to it. Customers and buyers and salesmen are card players. It works like this. I got five cards, right? I walk in the house and say, hi, sweetheart. Gee, we haven't been to movies in a long time. Right? She says, that's right. Maybe we'll go soon. Yes, maybe we will go soon. As a matter of fact, I came by the Bijou tonight, and there was a good picture playing. How do you feel about that? She said, I heard it was a good picture. Four, would you like to go? She says, no, I don't want to go either. When a guy says, you know, lot's too small, I'll bet you most of the time that isn't the real problem.